All right. Good morning, everyone. You know, God is moving by his spirit. You learn all kind of things in the Breakfast Club.
I used to get up and get ready.
Yeah, I like it. You know, when the to receive truth, it may be different than how you believed before. And you have to make adjustments because
that's true,
when
right.
God did make Adam, it said male and female
that's
created
right.
he them.
That's right. That's true.
And he said it wasn't good for man to be alone, so he...
That's
you know,
right.
And women think a different way than men, and it's good.
It is good.
And,
that's true. That's very true.
A couple that's following God, they do some of the most outstanding things than one person doing it by themselves. They have an exponential advantage.
You're absolutely right.
And I thank God for it. And we're made in his image. The male and the female are made in his image.
Yes, we are.
And in unison, we're strong.
That's
when the male and the female are in unison with God and them and both together, you just destroy Satan's works.
That's right. That's right. Takes both male and female.
Yeah, you're talking about that. Monty has, we talked this before about, you know, where the scripture says one can put 1,000 to flight?
Mm-hmm.
Two.
Yes. 10,000.
Can put 10,000
so, and
to flight.
I think Monty told me this. He says he really believes that what God was saying is the husband and the wife.
Yeah.
Two.
I can see that.
You know, when you're joined up and you agree, you can.
You're 10 times more effective.
Mm-hmm. Just.
As husband and wife, than you are as just one or the other.
Sometimes Alicia will say things, and it just make the whole difference. And God give us what we need to work with. This week He put on my heart Isaiah chapter 5, and like you know, we're dealing with the Holy Spirit, and this is what He brought to me earlier this week, and this is exactly what the Lord did. First in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. He says, now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard than I have not done in it? Whereof, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. In Jerusalem, the first plan of God, he was going to... have his people represent him in the middle of the earth, in Jerusalem. If you put all the continents together, Jerusalem is the bullseye. It's in the middle of all land. Well, he was going to have his people in Jerusalem represented. He took and to prepare them. He said he fenced it. He gave them protection. Took the stones out, and planted it with the choicest vine. But they went wild. In the New Testament, Jesus, he died for us. He rose again. He gave us a brand new heart. You know, he got rid of the stones. He gave us his authority. And then, and we're supposed to live in his image. And some people do and some don't. Some became wheat and some went on and turned from him and became tares. So, he's dealing with the wild grapes from that point, from verse 5 on. He's talking about what he's going to do because they went wild. But what if they stayed true? What if they did their purpose? What are the things that we could learn as we go on to follow him? And we read Hosea 6 this morning. I looked at it again. Ever since the church was born, from the day of Pentecost, It had a problem with the wild grapes. The wild grapes are the ones who hindered the process. He said in Hosea 6 and 1, it says, "Come and let us return to the Lord, For he has torn and he will heal us, and he has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, in the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Some of the doubts and the unbelief that we struggle with are learned behaviors. But when we get to know the Lord, just like the disciples, they got to know Jesus. They went straight forward doing miracles, working miracles. Once they understood that he had to die for them and he rose again, the Holy Spirit came. They were not wild grapes. They were true grapes. They obeyed him, and it was normal for them to be healed, to be blessed, to be guided by the Lord. And now, because of all forms of unbelief, people struggle to do what they're created to do. And to wrap everything up, because of time, on the radio, I was listening to, I saw a link on Jonathan Cahn, and he had a guy speaking at his church. And he talked about the Lord had given him, it was a good word, I'm going to send you that link, Brother Horn. But he said that he was on the radio, and they heard him in Iran. And a guy called, he was healed, and asked him to pray for him. Well, he prayed for him, and the man got healed. Some time went by, almost a year, more or less, but the guy called back, and he was in his conversation, he said, "And I got healed when you prayed for him." And the guy started rejoicing. And it kind of bothered, you know, the guy from Iran said, "Why are you rejoicing? It's normal to be healed." He said, "We get healed all the time." He said, "The church here, we get, when they get saved, they know about healing. It's normal." He said, "Why are you making a big deal out of being healed?" See, over there, there's a mighty move of God that's not on the news. True, it's just the way it is. And they didn't learn the doubt and unbelief, because their persecution come from the Islam, which a lot of them are disenfranchised with. A lot of the younger people, they don't want anything to do with it, and they're wide open for the gospel, and they are getting healed, saved, set free, and it's normal.
Praise the Lord.
And I said, "Lord, what's the deal with healing? Why are people struggling to get healed?" He said, "It's as easy as picking fruit. And you know, if you see a ripe peach on the tree, you just go get it and rinse it off and eat it. Easy. It's the same thing." But because of the interference of the wild grapes, they started a process of doubt that have made it through the generations. And now, by following God, getting to know him, he's going to undo that process. And it's going to be easy for us to be healed and saved. We're seeing people. It's normal to us to see people get healed. We're going to see people walk down today, and pastor's going to lay hands on, and they're going to walk right on back here. And the children, they receive healing quick because they were around it. But if you have that camouflage going on of doubt and unbelief, it interferes with what people believe, which restricts the Holy Spirit's work in their life. But as we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, we can. It's like Ray was saying earlier. There's nothing we can't do. But we have to get to know him first, and he'll guide us into it. And we'll pick up more next week. I'm glad that we finally made it to the Holy Spirit, because that's one of my favorite topics in the Word of God. I like it because he helps me know the Father and help me know who I am in him, and he guides me beyond my own capabilities. And your abilities are going to increase through him. We'll pick it up next week. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for every word spoken. I pray that you will guide us into all truth. Help us to know you and go forward doing all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord.